Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Good morning to you and to my lovely co-host. Good morning to you, beloved. How are you today?
Good morning. I am well. Thank you. This is Minister Tabika Garnes. How are you, beloved?
I am fantabulous. Praise be unto God. Feeling much love this morning. Feeling much love. God brought us through another day. Yes. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. I'm excited. I thank God for another opportunity to be with him today and with you and the callers. Good morning to Joyce Richardson. Good morning to Joyce in New York. Good morning to the Crawfords. God bless you all. Good morning to Isaiah and Isaiah. Good morning to Deacon Thomas Farr. And praise be unto God, Prophetess Dawn, Prophetess Kim. Just good morning to you guys. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. I tell you, we missed y'all last week. We truly did miss you. I thank Minister Tabika, you know, for coming out and addressing you, you know, stepping out of the room where we were having our seminar and just letting you know that we just couldn't be with y'all last Saturday morning, but we missed you tremendously, truly missed you tremendously. But as much as we missed you, we had an awesome, awesome time while we were away and just got more filled, if you could, with love, just more love, more love, more love. So God did some marvelous things in our lives during that weekend. Praise be unto God. Beloved, would you like to shout out to anyone? Praise God.
Yes, ma'am. Just want to say good morning to our callers. We're so glad that you joined us again this Saturday. Like Apostle said, we truly missed you all, but we had a lovely, lovely, lovely time. And because I know for me, when I'm trying to explain certain parts of it to people, it's like unexplainable. It's like you had to be there yourself, and I wish it was some way we could share like a video or something from the conference so that you could get just like a little bit of what we were filled with last week. It was, when I tell you, it was awesome. It was awesome. So, I just want to let you know, just wanted to share that little part. And just again, for your faithfulness, thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All righty, beloved. We're going to go ahead and give our Lord and Savior a great big shout out this morning and open in prayer. Whew, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We truly do give you love, Lord God. We give you the utmost respect, Father God. We adore you for who you are. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, and there is none like you. Father, I thank you for this day, for it is the day that you have made, oh God. Father, it's not just a saying. It's just not repeating your scripture, but God, is a reality. This is the day that you made, oh God. You made this day, no matter what the weather looks like, feels like, whatever. You made this day. And because you made this day, your word tells us to rejoice and be glad in it. Not just rejoice, but to be glad in it, in the name of Jesus. So, God, we rejoice. We have joy over and over and over again. And we are so glad and so thankful for this day. Father, I ask you, in the name of Jesus, as we acknowledge you for who you are, being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and Jehovah Rapha, our healer, and Jehovah Shalom, our peace, and Jehovah Sikkenu, our righteousness. God, you are all these things to us. And we thank you, Lord God. We acknowledge you, Father God. And when we think about who you are, God, when we think about who you are, the reality of it, Lord God, begins to resonate in our spirit, in our soul, oh Lord God. And we can't help but to say thank you, Lord, and hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us, oh God. Lord, I ask that you provide every provision that is needed with our callers, oh God. Let not a one of them go, Lord God, unnoticed today, or thinking that they have been unnoticed, oh God. Father, I thank you as you dispatch angels on all of our behalf, Father, that you make them, you bring, have them bring us what is needed for this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Whatever we need today, oh God, thank you for the provision in the name of Jesus. Thank you for our health. Thank you for our reconciliation, first of all, with you and then with one another. Thank you for binding us together with cords that cannot be broken. Thank you for the love that was shed on Calvary, oh God, and the love that resides within us because of you. Father, we love you. So thank you for this awesome and beautiful and wonderful day. We give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus, Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen.
Before we go on, I didn't say thank you to my daughter in the Lord, Tamika. Good morning, beloved. Good morning. I got so excited. I jumped right in there with your mom to start out with, but good morning to you, precious. You are not forgotten in no way, shape, or form. I love you dearly. So good morning to you. Praise God. Well, folks, you know that this month we've been doing sessions on marriage and the marriage relationship. And we so want to continue with that. And this would be the last Saturday, I believe, in the month of January. So this would be the last one for this month. And let me reemphasize that. For this month, this would be the last session on marriages for this month. We've got a whole nother, 48 weeks left of the year, you know, to talk about things that you want to talk about. But see, this is how important it is that you let us know what it is that you want to hear. For truly, this is heart to heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. So we won't know what's on your heart if you don't tell us. And that particular day that we asked you to let us know, you did. And so the marriages were something that people really wanted to hear more and more about. So here we are. And don't worry for the Crawfords. We know that we want to hear the other side of our spiritual gifts. I didn't forget. Trust you, me. So, folks, remember, let us know. You can email me at hearttoheart at newvisionforlife.com. That's heart and the number 2, and then heart again, at newvisionforlife.com. So you can email me there, or you can hit me up on Facebook, however you so deem to get to us. Let us know what is on your heart. And also, please remember, that holding conversation with us is very important, because we're sharing with you what is on our heart. We're sharing with you the articles that we use, what's on their heart, praise be unto God. We definitely allow the Holy Spirit to speak, so we know what's on his heart. We want to know what's on your heart as well. So praise be unto God. So at this time, I would like to turn this portion over to begin our session, our discussion with Minister Tabika Garnes and her wonderful, loving husband, Mark Garnes, Elder Mark Garnes. So go ahead, beloved. Good morning again to you.
Amen, amen. Good morning again to you as well. You want to say good morning, Elder Mark?
Good morning, Apostle. Good morning. God bless you. We appreciate you as always for your diligence, your leadership, and just being who you are, the excited, wonderful person you are. So thank you. We thank God for you. And thank God for the listeners for the opportunity to just share what Holy Spirit has placed on our heart in talking about these topics on marriage. So God bless you all.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So as we stated, we're going to be speaking about the biblical truth about marriage and how, you know, it can help build water your marriage. And please excuse my voice. It may sound like I just woke up, but I didn't. it's probably just a little tired because we've been going. And, you know, this is our first week back from the conference. So we're all a little drained, but in a good way.
Yeah.
So let's see. So we're going to talk about leaving and cleaving. So, you know, when we get married, that a man shall leave his father and his mother, and so that we were not to bring others into our marriage, because it creates tension. And so although we're still to honor our father and our mother, but your love, however, your spouse is your first priority. So that means that if you were in a family where you were the one, whether it be the man or the woman, that was doing everything for the family, and then, you know, you were the go-to person, every time somebody needed something, you were the one. When someone needed, you know, to go somewhere, you were the one. Whatever it was, you were the go-to person. And now you found somebody that you love, and this is the person you want to spend your life with. But in your family, they're still looking at you like you're the go-to person. And so they're still coming to you, asking you to do the things that you used to do when you were single. Now you have a family. You have a husband or you have a wife that comes first. And for some people, it's hard for them to now tell their family no, or, you know, whatever it may be. It's hard to tell the family no, because now they have gotten accustomed to you being the go-to person and handling things for them. So what happens is that for some people to avoid conflict, they still try to find a way to make their family priority and make their spouse priority, and it doesn't work. And what happens is it creates a fallout between husband and wife, because somebody is feeling neglected. Somebody is feeling like they're not getting that time that you're giving to your family. And then when you try to go to your family to explain or create boundaries now, they feel like you're turning your back on them. So it's one of those things where a conversation has to take place, because I think before marriage, we do so many things when we're single. We do so many things for our families, and we don't even create boundaries in our family relationships. So by the time they become accustomed to that, now it's time to, you know, oh, I'm married now. This is my spouse. I have to take care of my spouse. And they're looking like they're not understanding now that your spouse comes first. But had you have created boundaries in the beginning, it wouldn't have been so hard to now basically make your spouse a priority. Mark?
Amen. So I definitely, and I totally agree, you know, you leaving your father and your mother, a man should leave his father and mother. But sometimes I think we have to look at that beyond just the relationship to family. We have to leave our old life behind. We have to leave who we were and the commitments we had in life behind, because not behind, but we have to change the priority of those things. It's not even just about your family. It could be your friends. It could be how you spend your time, the things that you do for even your hobby. You still have to take time. So what I believe is that you have to find a way to involve your spouse in your life. And that does mean changing some of the way things, the way you do things. You don't have to necessarily stop doing those things, but you do need to include your spouse. Your spouse needs to be a priority in the things that you do. And as husband and wife, because we are becoming one flesh and one body, one mind, we need to think on those things together and compromise on how to do those things, how to be able to share with one's family, how to be able to enjoy the things that you used to do that you like. Prime example, I'm an adventurous person. I love to do outside stuff. I love to be anywhere with some kind of thrill. I love roller coasters. I love all those things. But now my wife doesn't. So the ones that I used to hang with and go to the amusement parks and things like that, I don't do, but we still go to the amusement parks. I just go to the water park with my wife for a while. And then I leave and go do what I want to do. But I make sure to spend my time with her first. And that's the same thing. It's just an example in life. You can still do the things you enjoy. You can still be in the position to help your family, but your spouse comes first. And everyone around you, if they truly love you and appreciate you and your spouse together and appreciate and respect your marriage, they would respect that you're choosing, to live right by God and to serve your wife or your husband first. And that they can still be a part of your life, a vital part of your life, an important part of your life. But they have to hold on to the place that allows your spouse to be first in everything. Back to you, Sue.
Amen. Apostle, do you have anything that you want to add to this?
No, not yet. Y'all are doing so good, so good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
I just want to say that I like what Mark brought in. The fact that is not just leaving the mother and the father, but there we have to leave our friends, our siblings, you know, whatever the case may be, and understand that this leaving is just like when the word says that must hate our mother and father, you know, and love Jesus and remember that hate was to love less. Well, mm-hmm. we love our families and so forth, but we have to love our spouses more than we love them and put them as a priority. And so you did a great job with that one. Thank you so very much. God bless y'all.
Amen. Amen. Well, you just jump in when you need to, okay?
Yes, beloved. Thank you. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. All right. So marriage is between one man and one woman. And so we see that in Genesis when God created man and then woman. And it was between a man and a woman. And in today's society, we know that same-sex marriage is legal now. So the picture of that has been distorted. And because it has become legal, some people have agreed with it. Because it's legal now, which is still a trick from the enemy, and it still goes against biblical principles. A woman and a woman can't naturally have a child, and a man mm-hmm. cannot naturally have a child. So we see how things are distorted, and in order to be fruitful, both literally and figuratively, marriage must join together a man and a woman. And we know that people try to define it in a different way But as people of God, we cannot compromise on what we believe or what we stand for. We are called to be the salt and light to society and to bring truth even in the face of adversity. And, you know, we hear in the news where pastors that decide that they don't want to, that they're basically not going to perform a same-sex marriage. And we see that, you know, the people want to sue them because of that. Even if a threat of a lawsuit comes up, we are still to stand on the word of God and not compromise. No matter what threats come against you, no matter, you know, what people say, whatever, we are not to compromise on the word of God. And people may try to pressure you, you know, by saying, well, it's legal. It's legal in the eyes of man and in you know, natural it's legal, but spiritually it's not. And so we have to remember to always follow the word of God. No matter what the world is doing, we are to follow the word of God. And too many of us compromise because we want to either please people or we don't want to go through the being sued or anything like that. So we just figure, oh, God will forgive me if, you know, I do this. He'll forgive me. And that's not, as Christians, that's not the way we are supposed to think or react to situations that go against the word of God. So when you stand on your truth, you know, no matter what comes up against you, and you stand on your truth just like they stand on theirs, we are supposed to stand on our truth. And sometimes we crumble because we allow the pressure of the world to get to us. So, you know, all the distorted view of marriage between one man and one woman, you know, it's distorted. And God is not pleased. He is not pleased because it's a covenant. And that covenant between that is going on now with same-sex marriage does not, God is not in that. He's nowhere in that. And so people use the word love, that love has no gender, love has no color, whatever. And so they that's how they justify the same-sex marriage, that we are supposed to love all people. And, again, that's a distorted view of love because we read about that in the Bible when, you know, when the men, what was it, when the men came and wanted to sleep with the men, and who was it that offered, was it Lot that offered?
Lot offered his. When the men came, the angels came into the city, and Lot welcomed them to his house. He asked that they would come stay with him instead of in the center of the city. And they agreed. And when they came, the men from the city came to Lot's house and said, "Who are the strangers? We must lay with them." They wanted to have sex with them. That's when Sodom and Gomorrah, that's the times when the perversion, the sexual perversion, all those things happen. We see biblically that God does not like that. God does not love that. God does not respect that. That is not of God. But I think what we do is, just as my wife was saying, what we do is we try to pacify things and agree with things. But we as Christians don't need to compromise. And I challenge you with this question. Just because it's legal, does it make it right? Adultery is legal. It doesn't break a law, but we know it's not right. Pornography doesn't break a law of the world, but we know it's not right. The same people who are defending same-sex marriages would argue that adultery is wrong, that it's wrong to cheat because what God says. But yet we pacify it, and I think we do that so much with all sin. Is we pacify and use the word of God in the context that best fits how we can pacify what we want to do and what we want to do and what we don't want to do. We'll take sin and turn it into the thing that God allows. Or we've even heard people say, "Well, God wouldn't have made me like this if He didn't think it was right." God didn't make you like that. God didn't put spirits on you. the world and what we've allowed ourselves to succumb to and the sin that we walked into is what releases and gives those spirits authority to walk in our lives. And then we succumb to those very temptations and those things that make us fall away from God. We fall away from God as we walk in those things. So I just say to all those listening, I pray that as God moves on your lives, that you'll continue to stand strong, and those that have already compromised, God will change your heart and pull you back to a place where you will see the way of life is in marriage is for a man and a woman to be married, a man and a woman to be married, to multiply and be fruitful. Back to you, sweetie.
Amen, beloved. Let me jump in here for a moment, please. Thank you, y'all, again, for touching on the fact of the lawful portion of this. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, the word says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And I want to read that from a different version. That was the authorized King James Version. And I want to read that again from the Expanded Bible. Now, the word expedient, I had looked that up the other day, surprisingly enough, dealing with this exact scripture and speaking about all things may be lawful, you know, but they may not be moral. They may not be spiritually right. They may not be the things that bring strength, you know, to the body of Christ and so forth. So we say scriptures and we say words and we don't know what they mean, but that's where we get, you know, that's expedient. And so I want to read this to you in the Expanded Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, I am allowed to do all things. All things are lawful, permissible for me, but not all things are good for me to do, not profitable or beneficial. I am allowed to do all things. All things are lawful, but I will not let anything make me its slave. And 1 Corinthians 10:23, we are allowed to do all things. All things are lawful or permissible, but not all things are good for us to do. We are allowed to do all things, but not all things help others grow stronger, build up, you know, in Christ Jesus. That all things are not, so they're not expedient. So, yes, the world has made it so that everything that we want to do is lawful to us. We can do it. We can do whatever we want to do. But there's a price to pay for doing those things. There are price to pay. And so, yes, they may be permissible, but it is not expedient. It is not profitable. It is not beneficial. It is not standing up for the word of God and walking a Christian walk. It is not being a good example, you know, before anyone. We've got to stand for what is right before the Lord. So, yes, the law of the land says I can marry a woman if I choose to. The law of the land says any man can marry a man if he chooses to. But the law of God tells us that we are to be joined together with man or woman, the opposite sex, and go forth and multiply. And this is the word of God. This is the word of God. And as Christians, we must obey that. Also, please let it be known that we do not hate those that operate in a homosexual lifestyle. We love them just the way God loves them. We love homosexuals just like we love adulterers and liars and murderers. Yeah, you hear me saying all these things. We love them. We hate the sin because God hates it. We love what God loves, and we hate what he hates. And this is very important in our walk. It is very important. There are members of our church that have homosexual children and children, you know, adult children. They come in our church. We have no qualms with loving them, hugging them, receiving them. They are our babies. They are our babies. And people in our own families, you know, at all. So I just want you to know that this statement that's being made here about the same-sex marriage does not in any way exclude anyone from New Vision for Life, where we say this is where the love begins, you know, here, and it goes on forever. It never stops. So we thank God again for all of us, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have. Praise be unto God. But we are praying for that lifestyle change because the Holy Spirit in us gives us the power to be what God has called us to be. Amen. Go ahead, beloved.
Amen. Amen. And this situation has also affected the church. I believe Apostle, wasn't this Minister Lee say that the Methodist Church was splitting because
yes.
of this issue?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, half of the Methodist organization condones same-sex marriage. The other half doesn't. And so the Methodist Church is splitting over this. It's a serious split, and there are thousands and thousands of churches in the Methodist organization, but they have come to a place where there is a split. So I am so sorry. My computer just, oh, my God, and I can't find a thing to shut it up. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So much for technology. I mean, the commercials just popping up on the computer and playing all by themselves. The devil is a liar. Amen. But yes, yes, and I predict that won't be the only organization that does that. I think it's going to come more and more, that more and more churches are going to split over this. I believe the Episcopalians have begun to have a lot of homosexual priests now, and a lot of homosexual priests, and there's some issues going on with them as well with this. So yes, it is happening. It is happening, beloved.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I also really quick wanted to share a picture that I saw, and the picture was a female, and this is what the picture looked like. It was a female and a male. The male was pregnant. And so I'm like, oh, no. And my mouth dropped open because I'm like, men cannot get pregnant. So as I'm looking at the caption and I'm reading the caption, the one that looked like a male that was pregnant was actually the female, and the one that looked like the female was actually a male. And I'm like, God, this is just, this is not good. And I said, I'm sure there are children that have seen this female that looks like a male that's pregnant and asking their parents, like, why is that man pregnant? And so now it's creating confusion in our children. And now we have to have these type of conversations with our children earlier in life because they're confused. And they're confused over stuff that they're seeing the demonic presence of stuff and not understanding it. And it's like, how do we even have conversations with our children that are 4 and 5 years old that are now coming in contact with stuff like this? Now they're seeing it in their cartoons, they're seeing it in school, and it's just like, you know, Lord, help us. You know, help us, because this is an issue that is growing, and, you know, how do we talk to our kids about this? You know, how do we, especially when they're that young? And so, you know, it's just, it's an abomination. Like, we have to find a way, and we can't, and it's like we can't shield our kids from it anymore, because that means you would have to keep them in the house. So how do we effectively talk to them about this? Because we don't want our kids to be confused, you know, especially not at that young of an age. We don't want our kids to be confused about stuff that they truly don't understand. But you'll have those ones, those inquisitive ones, that will ask and continue to ask. So, you know, even now that's something else that we have to stick in there to talk to our kids about at an early age. And I just pray that, you know, people's eyes are open to the truth and how they've been deceived, you know, by the enemy. So, you're listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter with Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes. And our special guest today, or special second co-host today, my husband, Mark Garnes. We thank you. And if you have anything that you want to share, comment, questions, anything, please press 1 on your keypad, and we will unmute your line so that you are able to speak. Amen. All right. So we're going to go to the next one, which is covenant fidelity is essential. Mark, you want to speak on this one?
Yes. In order for marriage to be successful, we have that it has to be a covenant. And we must realize adultery is a serious thing. And the Word of God sets us up for success by giving us guidelines to remain sexually pure and faithful, and by giving us grace to obey these guidelines. We are truly becoming one flesh with our partner. That is what marriage is about. Sexually and figuratively, we must keep the marriage bed pure. And some things that my wife and I were told about when we decided to be married and went into marriage counseling, and we honestly were like, what do you mean? And we were told, one of the things we were told is, of course, before marriage, you should abstain from sex. And we're like, what do you mean? Are you crazy? What do you mean? Abstain from sex? Like, no. And that's how people think. That's how people believe. But, and, you know, and after marriage, there is, you know, a covenant that you're remaining pure, that you won't even fantasize about someone else. Even lusting at another woman or another man is committing adultery when you think about a person like that. Your spouse should be the only person that you even think about, that you even imagine or even flirt with the idea of, should only be with your spouse. But I think the abstaining, and I go into this a lot in talking with the men about the abstaining prior to marriage, what that actually does for you. And what my wife and I found was it gave us the opportunity to have to talk more. Our intimate time became just a time of just talking, getting to know one another. And what that did was give us a place that when things were going wrong, we were able to talk through them and work through them. Because I know so many people have heard, and I always talk about this point, so many people have heard someone say we had makeup sex. Makeup sex is probably one of the worst things that can possibly happen in an argument. Feels great, yes. Let's be adult. It feels great, yes. But with makeup sex is basically putting a Band-Aid on a bleeding jugular vein. When something has been pierced so deep and every time it's just covered up and masked, and that's what the makeup sex does, because you haven't found a way to get through issues other than laying in bed and having sex. You haven't found a way to deal with it by not taking the time to abstain. You haven't figured out a way that in your relationship you deal with issues by talking through them. That bandage, man, when something else happens, gets ripped off, pulled off, or the emotion, the feeling, the gratifying feeling has now dissipated, and now all you're doing is thinking about the issue that was going on before you laid down. Now that thing is bleeding profusely, and you don't even know how to stop it. And if every time all you can do is fall back to makeup sex because you never figured out a way to talk about life, to deal with life, to deal with issues, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, whatever the case may be, if your marriage was dependent upon sex, then what happens when other issues happen? What happens when you have problems that sex doesn't solve? What happens when you're no longer gratified because you're so hurt and so mad? All your makeup sex is now gone, and now your marriage is hinged on something that doesn't exist. There is no intimacy. There is no level of love, because that's what your love was based on, was the sex that joined you together. So we have to really abstain from sex prior to marriage so that we can get a chance to really have a relationship, that we can have stand in one accord and know that as one, as husband and wife, that we're joined together, that we can work through things and talk through things. I think that was the biggest thing. I mean, it was so confusing and seemed so off the wall and just random for the marriage counselor, the people we were going to see, to even say that, and that be the first thing that they said. I myself had really turned them off. I didn't want to hear anything else. But now I thank God that we were able to listen and move on and live a life like that has taken us into going on to 13 wonderful years of marriage that I wouldn't change anything about other than growing even stronger and stronger every day. Because just taking the time to hold that covenant, to just look at my life with love, no matter what the situation, look at it with love, not depending on a sexual relationship, to walk us into the next step and the next test and to help, and for God to take us through. Back to you, sweetie.
Amen, amen. And people don't actually understand that there can be no marriage without God in it. If he's not in it, there's technically no marriage, because the covenant that we make is with him and with our spouse. And so we are to love each other the way that God loves us. But if we don't have a relationship with God, we don't know how he loves us. So we don't know how to love one another. And I know, you know, people today, they're getting married and God's nowhere in it. But they're getting married because they think that they love one another, and they want to spend the rest of their lives with each other. And, you know, they even get married at a church or at a courthouse or whatever it is. But if you don't have God in your heart, you know, there's really no marriage, because you have to have, God has to be in it. You have to know him, because he's the one that will allow the love, that pure, unconditional love in a marriage. Because in our own strength, we come into a marriage with our own thoughts, our own opinions, our own baggage, how we think marriage should go. Some of us may have never had an example of marriage. Some of us may have had an example of marriage, but it wasn't a good one. So the only way to know how to really treat our spouses is to have a relationship with Christ first, and know our word and know what it says, and know the man should know how he's supposed to love God's daughter. And then the female is supposed to know how we are to love God's son. So he needs to be in the marriage. We have to include him in the marriage. That's why the word says don't be unequally yoked, because he already knew what would happen if a believer married an unbeliever. He already knew what would take place. And so that's telling us that we have to have a relationship with the Father, because he will help us through the difficult situations that we're going to endure. And we're going to endure some situations in our marriage that we're not prepared for. Because, again, people come with their own ways of what they think marriage should look like. And it may be way wrong. And the only person that can help us with that is God. So we have to trust him and know him and listen to him and follow him in order for our marriage to be successful. Amen. Apostle?
Amen. I'll go right ahead.
Amen.
Right ahead. Awesome.
Amen.
And at the end of this, I have a song that I want y'all to hear.
Okay.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, biblical truth number four is there is a supernatural oneness in marriage. In Ephesians 5, Paul quotes Genesis calling the unity between man and woman a profound mystery. And there's a supernatural oneness that God wants us to know. The unity that we must share, it's about joy, peace, righteousness, and it comes from our experience together. And as my wife was saying, and we were going into something we learned, an apostle helped us really to understand this about the oneness of marriage and the covenant of marriage and God being a part of it. And she gave the analogy, and for some will catch it, some may not. But if you look at a two-strand twist, like two pieces of yarn twisted around, at the very end, they have to be either tied in a knot or something has to be there to hold it, to stop it from unfraying when whatever comes along. If it's blowing in the wind, if it's just being pulled along, something has to be there to hold it together. And if you look at a tri-braided cord or a three-strand braid, those things are intertwined together and wrapped around. And even when you get to the very end where it's stretched out to the very point, it has to be, it takes work to pull it apart. And that's what a supernatural oneness is in a marriage, that we have that tri-braided cord because it's two people intertwined with God. And when we're intertwined with God, keeping God in the midst of it, even the situations that come, the things, whether the storm blows, whether the wind blows, whether the waves crash, whether earth is literally falling apart, when we're standing with God, when we're intertwined with God, husband and wife, when we're wrapped in with God, the three together now become a force that has to literally be pulled apart for it to break down. It's something that somebody has to get in there and wedge and work to pull it apart. It just doesn't unravel. And that's the purpose for us in marriage. That's what God sees for us. That's what we're supposed to be. And that example, that oneness in a relationship is an example to the world of what God calls us to be. So we stand honored that our marriage is wrapped around God, that we have a supernatural connection, a oneness with God, that we are special with God, that we walk with God and together, and in that place, we can stand and once again celebrate the wonderful marriage that we have and that so many on the line. Shout out to the Crawfords. I believe they said 20-something years it was they were on, was it? I think it was like 27 years. Please, if you're there, let us know, please, so we can celebrate that. But just marriages like that, just timeline where people have spent years together and they've been able to do so and still love each other like newlyweds just because they are centered around God. There's a supernatural oneness. The Godhead gives them the guide to walk in the marriage, to go through every situation and know who God is, and that they are blessed just like we are. So I thank God for that.
Amen. And we do have a caller that wishes to speak. Your last four digits are 4831. Good morning.
Good morning, beloved. Good morning. This is Prophet Crawford.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
We love you guys, and it's 22 years. We thank you for the additional five, but we haven't quite hit that yet.
Amen.
But you shall.
Amen. Amen. Well, Prophet Crawford, T, to you and Prophet Songbird, we just say God bless you. Thank you for being an example. Thank you for being an example. That's what marriage is called, to be an example, where people can really see the glory of God in it. I know we've all gone through issues. We've all had problems. No marriage will continue to be smooth sailing all the way through. Two people come together, there's always going to be disappointment, always going to be disagreement. But the fact that you stand in God and that you have the blessed 22 years, we celebrate you, man and woman of God. We celebrate you both. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you guys.
Thank you. God bless you as well. All right. So I just wanted to share that when, we talk about the supernatural oneness, and it says that in marriage we become one flesh, and it's a model mm-hmm. of unity between Christ and the church, his bride. And when it says we ought to become one flesh, but for some people it's not always that way, especially when it comes to money. And I say that because you'll have couples that and we do. We have separate accounts. We have a main account, and then he has another account, and I have another account. But the thing is that we know about these accounts, and it's not a hidden thing. It's not where I don't have access to his account, other account, and he has access. You know, I have access to his other account. He has access to my other account. But for some people, they don't even have a main account together. It's they came into the marriage with the account that they had, and it's still that way. And even in that, it's supposed to be one. Your bank accounts are supposed to be one, and you're supposed to be one together. So that means that, you know, when one is hurting, the other one should be the strength for the other one, and you know, vice versa. So we have to get out of that mindset that this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. You know, you may be able to say that when you were single, but when you come together as one flesh, it's now ours. It's no more mine, like a car. Now, even if that's your car that you came into the marriage with, it's now both of you all. It's not just yours alone anymore. You had houses when you came into the marriage, and then you decided to sell one, and now you guys have moved into the house that one of them already had. Now it's ours. It's no longer mine. And some people's marriages have fallen apart because they did not understand the biblical truth about marriage becoming one flesh, and that it's supposed to be the model of unity between Christ and the church, his bride. And again, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you don't know these things. And so, again, that's why it's vitally important that you know what, you know, you have that relationship with Christ so that your marriage can grow. So biblical truth is like watering, you know, a plant and watching it grow. So we should be applying these biblical truths to our marriage so we can watch it grow. This is God's beautiful purpose for us in marriage, to show others what oneness in relationship really looks like. And you'll have some people who, you know, on the outside, their marriage looks like nothing is wrong. They get along. They don't, you know, they're always smiling. You know, they have everything that people could want, a nice car, a nice house, that they own their own businesses, blah, blah, blah. But when they go home at night, they sleep in two separate bedrooms because they can't stand one another. Like, so you can't always judge the outwardly appearance, because you don't know what is going on once they get out of, in front of people, what is actually going on behind closed doors. So keeping God in our marriage will water our marriage. Our marriage has to grow with God in it. It has to grow. It has to flourish. And when God is in it, there's transparency, because we always want to show people that the good aspects of what marriage looks like, but we never want to talk about the disagreements that go on, the disappointments that go on. We don't want to talk about those things, but we want to model this type of everything is hunky-dory and emerge, and it's we have our moments where it's not. So we had Apostle, you want to, how long is the song? Does it tell you how long it is?
Very. Wait a minute. Let me see. Almost 4 minutes.
Okay. So this is the last one, and I want you to expound on this really quick, and then we can go into the song. It says that God is against divorce, and the reason why I'm asking you to expound on it is because you told us, you know, what the word says, but also, like, if you're being abused or something like that, then, you know, that may warrant divorce. So go ahead and expound on this, please.
Amen. Amen. All righty. And first of all, in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus quotes Genesis 2 by saying, "Have you not read from the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." And that's Matthew 19 and 4:5. And the idea here is that people, when we are married to one another, we made a commitment, we made a covenant to love and to serve and to remain faithful to them through the trials, the difficulties. We made this commitment. We made this covenant. We are not to jump into divorces. God hates divorce because the marriage represents the relationship between Christ and the church. And God is not divorcing us when we do all of the terrible things that we do, even after we have become children of God. After we've accepted Jesus Christ as His Lord, as our Lord and Savior, God does not divorce us over the nonsense that we get ourselves into. And if marriage is to represent the relationship between Christ and the church, then we are not to divorce each other either. However, big however, if someone is beating you, there's domestic violence, you know, with you, with your children, whatever the case may be, run like heck. Get out of it. Do not stay in that and take that type of abuse. That is not what God set you up for. That may not have even been the person that God had for you to marry. And it said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So you let that be. You go ahead and get out of it. The word also makes allowances that if you married an unsaved person, and that person chooses to leave, then you let them go and you are no longer committed to them. But if the unsaved person decides they want to stay with you while you're married, stay with you and you're saved and they're not, then you do not divorce the person because they're unsaved. You got into it with them being unsaved. You stay in it with them being unsaved as long as they are not abusing you. Stay married. There are the times when people will separate from each other and remain married for the rest of their lives, but they're separated from each other. However the case, you know, the doors are left open for God to do anything in a relationship. So just be mindful. And please know that I am a two-time divorcee. So I struggled with the idea of divorce. And God allows divorce where adultery has been committed. He does allow the divorce under those circumstances. And that happened in both relationships. So, do your best to honor the word of God. I want to thank Tabika and Mark for sharing with us this morning the biblical truths about marriage. I thank God for the recommendation that we discuss relationships and marriage throughout this month. And I want to play this song. I came across it accidentally. In my human nature, it was an accident. in God's nature, there was no accident that I came across this song. And without even thinking about the fact that we were talking about marriages this morning, I was on the phone with a friend, and we were talking about the different things that we discuss or do not discuss prior to marriage and so forth. So here is a song that is a very deep, serious, serious song. And Tabika, I'm asking you, darling, that when I play it, because I'll be playing it on my desktop, we'll be listening to it through the phone as you're listening to me now. And I'm praying that it comes across clearly. And what I need to do here also before I play the song, let me read the words to you so that let me read the words to you so that you just in case you don't hear it very clear, you will have the idea of what the song is about. So let me just read the words first before I play it. And it said, "What if I couldn't speak? What if I couldn't eat? What if I couldn't move? Would you still love me? What if up to the end, and I always made you blamed? What if I couldn't wait? Would you still love me? Would you love me when it's hard and life is falling apart? If the things that we once knew are long gone? If the blue sky turned gray and my memory fades away, would you still love me? What if I'm complicated, always leaving you frustrated? Nothing ever went quite right. Would you still love me? Wish I could let you know what the future holds. It's a promise I can't make through the good and the bad and being sad. Love is a risk that we must take. Would you love me when it's hard and the life is falling apart? If the things that we once knew are long gone? If the blue sky turned gray and my memory fades away, would you still love me? And then if I could speak again, I will ask you to remember when we first met and fell in love. We were so young and dumb, but our love was so strong. Memories of late nights, so I would feel it's fine. Would you love me when it's hard and life is falling apart? If all the things we once knew are gone, if the blue sky turned gray and my memories fade away, would you still love me?" And see, when we get married, you know, we talk, and mostly now in marriage counseling, we talk about the money issues, we talk about sex issues, we talk about family issues and so forth, but very seldom do we get this deep, you know, about all these type of things, you know, the person becoming disabled, whatever the case may be, you know, whatever it is, would you still love me? So here is the song, and Beaker, let me know if it's coming across. Okay. All right, baby?
Okay.
What if I couldn't speak? What if I couldn't breathe? If I couldn't move? What if my body ached? It always made you late. What if I couldn't wait? Would you still love me? Would you love me when it's hard? When life is falling apart? If the things that you knew are long gone, if I'm losing you instead of pain, if I'm letting you fade away, you should love me. Would you still love me? What if I'm complicated, always leaving you frustrated? Nothing ever went quite right. you still love me. Wish I could let you know what the future holds, but the promise I can't make. Through the good and bad, I'll be intact. The love there is that we must take. Would you love me when it's time? My life's
because I think those are the things we don't think about when we go into marriage. What if, the what if, and would you still love me if those things were to happen? And I apologize if I missed it. Did you say the title and who wrote the song?
Oh, no, I didn't. The title is Would You Still Love Me? And it's by Brian Hara. It's, the last name is spelled N. H-I-R-A, Brian Hira. I believe it's an African name. I'm not quite sure. And let me just take this one step deeper. You know, when we talked about the marriage between the man and the woman and spoke about how that represents the relationship between Christ and church, I don't know if y'all remember, you know, but I used to tell y'all years and years ago, you know, as a teenager, when I sang love songs, I sang them, it was between me and God. And that's where my love was, you know, as a young girl. So even when I listened to this, I took it and I turned it around some. And this was like Jesus was speaking to me. Now, let me show you the difference that it made. And it was like, what if he was saying to me, what if you couldn't speak? And what if you couldn't eat? What if you couldn't move? Would you still love me? You know, what if, you know, these things, what if things were hard for me? What if my life was falling apart? What if all the things that I once knew when I first came to Christ, what if those things were gone? What if my blue skies turned gray? And what if my memory of those things fade away? Would I still love him? Would I still love him? And when we look at the fact that Christ is the center, should be the center of our marriages, would we still love him in the midst of all of these things? And when we can come to the place like, Lord, if you never did another thing for me, I would still love you. And when we get to that, you know, it's to our husbands and to our wives, you are imperfect. And if you don't treat me the way that you used to treat me, if things get hard, if we run into financial difficulty, if you something happens to you and you become physically disabled, yes, I would still love you. Let's look at the many men and women that go into the armed forces and come back with their minds messed up, limbs are missing, sexual organs no longer able to function the way that they function. Do we throw them away or do we still love them? So, beloved, today here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, you have heard the five biblical truths about marriage. You've heard that. I ask you to ask yourself throughout the rest of this time, the rest of this day, the rest of your marriage, will you still be able to love one another because of the covenant that has been made between you and God and your mate? A trifold cord is not easily broken. Hold on to one another. Remember that when people look at us and see the God in us, and that is what holds our marriages together, that is what helps to give them the desire to even be in a relationship with Christ, because that means that he is sticking by us no matter what we go through. He sticks by us. Beloved, would you still love me? To all of you on this line, look at your mates today. Give them hugs. Give them kisses. Thank God that you have the mates. Thank God you have the opportunity to love and be loved. And remember that truly this is the day that the Lord has made. Go forth today, rejoice, and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that is the end of one moment. Let me let my love come on here. Hold on. Oh, my goodness, it's not clicking over. There we go. There we go. Go ahead, beloved. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Apostle.
Yes, good morning, sweetheart. How are you today?
I am grateful. I'm grateful to God, foremost, for waking all of us up, giving us another day, giving us another weekend. I'm totally grateful to God for that. In addition, I'm grateful to God for this platform. I'm grateful to God for the topic that you are talking about. It's necessary and it's important. I even texted you a few minutes ago and I said that I'm grateful to God for the overtime. I'm grateful to God for the overtime. I'm glad you hit that button because it's so much. It's so much to say. I thank God for, again, this topic, and I just want to highlight this, that God loves. He loves marriages.
Yes.
So thank you for, again, doing this topic, working with young people. I'm reminded that many of them are angry because of home situations, things that are not, you know, they can't, you know, that it's out of their control. And when I say that God loves marriages, he loves husband and wives, he loves families, and that's where a lot of these situations arise from the people that come out of homes, and then go into wherever they go, whatever arena they go in, on the streets, and it's a result of what's going on at home, the anger, the hurt, whatever. But I'm just saying when God heals these home situations between a husband and wife, between children and parents, et cetera, then that will heal. That'll heal our land when we turn back to God. I know God knows what I'm saying. It's just so much to say, and I know that we're all on overtime, and I'm just trying to quickly say it in this brief moment. But God hears the cries of my heart. Again, I just thank God, Apostle. Thanks for you and for the ministers that are speaking with this topic, and even those that call in. I just thank God for this opportunity, because it's just so much to be said, and it's a start, you know, for the divine, the communication, the opening up this opportunity to allow God to be heard and seen, so that He can heal the land. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Wants us to return back to Him and return back to Him. It's what we're doing. So thank you for this opportunity.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. God bless you. Saints, let me say that, you know, the show was scheduled, of course, from 9 till 10. And when you go back to the archives, because you can always go back and listen to the shows on our archives, you will not, it does not record anything after 10, because we only set it up for the hour. So the song, these last remarks that were made by our sister, anything after 10 will not be on the recording, but you will have it up to the part where we actually did the last five truths, and that was dealing with divorce. It will be on up to there. After that, like I said, the songs and the remarks that we just heard would not be on it. I wish I knew the times to set it up for the hour and a half instead of just the hour. But to God be all the glory. Also, please know in the future, in the very near future, I will be speaking to you about sponsorship. We will be looking for sponsors for our show. And I will let you know what the cost would be to be a sponsor of the show. And we'll let you know about that. But we definitely are in the place where we desire to have sponsors as we're increasing our listening audience. And we definitely can use the sponsorship to help out. All right, beloved, that is our show for today. Meet us back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And this, again, is Apostle Etta Banks with Minister Tabika Garnes as my co-host and her wonderful husband, Elder Mark Garnes. We do thank them all, and we all are members, of course, of New Vision for Life Church. You're more than welcome to come by and visit us. Go to our website, www.newvisionforlife.com, to find the address and the time. We love you, take care, and have a blessed and anointed weekend. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as He does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that He bestowed upon them. And then God, in His awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings He bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.